shelter in place, or stay at home. Welcome to the South Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Residents across the region have been told to stay away, stay home, shelter in place. Different cities and counties have issued different orders and urges in the effort to slow the spread of COVID-19. What can and can't you do under these rules? What's open? What happens if you break the rules? If you just came to Florida from New York, are you self-isolating like Governor DeSantis has ordered? How are you keeping yourself and your family safe from the coronavirus? Plus, how prepared are hospitals in South Florida to handle more and more COVID-19 patients? The chief medical officer of Broward Memorial Healthcare will be here. What's the current status of testing in South Florida? Your phone calls are coming up on the South Florida Roundup, made possible by Willie the Bee-Man, bee removal specialist. Welcome to the South Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening and supporting public radio. South Florida is a coronavirus hotspot in the state. The majority of confirmed cases in Florida are in Broward, Miami-Dade, and Palm Beach counties. The first death in Miami-Dade County was reported today on this Friday. The number of cases is expected to climb as testing efforts expand across the region. And as the coronavirus cases keep growing, healthcare facilities are preparing for worst-case scenarios, a medical surge that could overwhelm bed space inside hospitals. Some facilities are considering other buildings and other spaces that could be used to care for large waves of COVID-19 patients. So the healthcare facility capacity in South Florida, that's first up here on the South Florida Roundup. Are you a healthcare worker in South Florida? What are your concerns about treating people who may have COVID-19? And what steps are you taking to protect yourself? 800-743-WLRN, our phone number, 800-743-9576. Dr. Stanley Marks is with us, Chief Medical Officer for Broward Memorial Healthcare System. Dr. Marks, welcome to the South Florida Roundup. Thanks for taking time out today with us.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
How prepared is Memorial for a possible medical surge?
Well, we believe we are. we're a large public healthcare system in South Florida, in the southern part of Broward County, Florida. And as you noted to your listeners, Broward County really has become, along with Dade, the epicenter in Florida for this disease.
Yes, 614 confirmed cases, according to the State Department of Health, as we're talking here on this Friday afternoon. What kind of planning procedures can you share with us that Memorial has undergone to prepare for what may be a significant uptick in demand for emergency room space, ICUs, or just hospital beds?
We actually began looking at this concerning pandemic well back into January as we watched it unfold in China. and we began to look at what our manpower issues were, as well as our space issues, and began to follow what this disease was doing in China. Mm-hmm. We identified that the vast majority of these patients weren't terribly ill, but the 15 to 20% of the patients that did get ill rapidly deteriorated and required intensive care, and a subset of those then required ventilatory support and advanced methodologies to keep them alive. So we began to look at what our stockpiles were related to personal protective gear. We began to look at our ventilator supplies, what our manpower issues were related to managing and caring for large volumes of patients who had a contagious disease. And over the course of the last 4 to 5 weeks, we have pulled together a disaster preparedness group, or I should say groups, mm-hmm. and began looking at all of the individual components that one needs to do to prepare for this sort of an onslaught, because it's essentially like preparing for a war, and one needs the appropriate supplies, materials, space, personnel, to conduct that sort of a campaign.
Yeah. Let's tackle this by supplies first, medical supplies, personal protective gear. Have you been able to secure enough masks, enough face masks, enough gowns to satisfy what may be coming?
So we, like I'm sure many hospitals do, have a what's called a pandemic supply, which is basically a supply that's held in abeyance in the background. Of a fairly large stockpile of those things that one would need for any sort of contagious or infectious disease.
Mm-hmm.
And those generally consist of certain kinds of gowns or suits, face masks of different types, face shields and goggles, as well as caps and booties.
Is this the same as the... Is this the same as the state medical supply stockpile, or is this something specific for Memorial?
So this is what I'm talking about is something that's very specific for Memorial. But as most of your listeners will recognize, both the federal government and the state also have stockpiles.
Mm-hmm.
Theirs are, of course, much larger than any individual healthcare system or hospital. But we do stockpile a fair number of these kinds of things to be ready for a pandemic such as we're experiencing now.
We're talking, let me just introduce folks if they're just joining us, Dr. Marks. Dr. Stanley Marks is the voice on the telephone you hear. He's the chief medical officer for Memorial Healthcare System, the public healthcare system in South Broward County. We're talking about medical supplies for that healthcare system. Go ahead, Dr. Marks.
Yeah, the real challenge that we have, and I think that that you and your listeners have heard about, is the issue with supplies that is occurring across the United States. And that is because this is not the ordinary outbreak in which somebody might have been dealing with an outbreak of measles in a particular region of Florida or of New York or of California. This is an issue which has involved virtually every country on the planet,
mm-hmm.
and is now involved every state in the United States. And the volumes and numbers of this disease that have far exceeded anything that really that the world has seen since 1918, since
yeah.
the Spanish flu of 1918.
Yeah. Let me ask specifically as it relates to Memorial, the healthcare system where you're the chief medical officer. What's the bed count currently? What's the capacity currently? And what are plans to potentially add to that quickly if need be?
So the bed count, we've got a number of hospitals in South Broward County, Memorial Regional Hospital, which contains also Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital, is about an 800-bed facility. Memorial Hospital West is about a 500-bed facility. Memorial Regional Hospital South is 216 beds. Memorial Hospital Pembroke is a little over 300 beds. And Memorial Hospital Miramar is almost 200 beds.
It's about 2,000 total.
So about 2,000 total. With all of those beds. And when you look at within those hospitals, there are about between adult and pediatric intensive care beds, there are about 100 and 115 or so intensive care beds at the regional campus, about 32 beds at Memorial West, about 24 beds at Pembroke and about 18 beds at Miramar for critical care.
A little over 200 then, is that about right?
Yeah.
Okay.
A little over 200 of intensive care beds.
Yep.
And when you look at numbers of, for example, if you looked at just ventilators that exist in the healthcare system, there are approximately... I had it written down because I thought This would be an important one.
Yes, it would be. And as you're looking for that, I'm going to ask you to help define what you mean by in the system. Is that in the Broward Memorial System, or what do you mean
that's
by
in Memorial? So that's Memorial Healthcare System.
So these are ventilators. Are you've got access to it.
That we have access in our essentially six facilities. So there are about 200 ventilators and about 125 anesthesia machines in our system. And an anesthesia machine can be converted to a ventilator.
So you've got more ventilators or machines that can be converted to ventilators than you even do ICU beds in the system.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, okay. And then, so, you know, the surge. We're seeing some of these systems in Queens, New York, for instance. We've seen issues in Louisiana. Certainly we've seen them in the Milan area in Italy about patients having to be triaged and treated in makeshift, almost MASH-like units, right? Almost like mobile hospital-like units. Are those plans on the table? Is that something that can be executed, should be executed here in South Florida, if necessary? And what are some of the tipping points?
Yeah, absolutely. I think every facility needs to have a surge plan and an expansion corridor or an expansion plan to deal with a very large volume of patients that potentially can come into your hospital. As you've alluded to, we're seeing that. We're already seeing it in New York. We saw it in Washington State, where I think we're still seeing it to some degree in Washington State. And what that means, an expansion corridor, means most hospitals have conference rooms or auditoriums. One needs to have plans to be able to expand into those sorts of non-clinical areas to be able to supply additional rooms and space for patients that hopefully aren't critical, but can manage non-critical types of patients. Additionally, we've put into place not only those sorts of expansion corridors at every one of our hospitals, but we have the ability to create these specialized tents that look very much like MASH units, the mobile military forms of hospitals that were formed in tents. And these setups can be set up fairly rapidly, generally within a day, and can house almost any kind of patient, patients requiring ventilatory support and so on. They can be air-conditioned. They can provide laboratory support, radiographic support, and so on. So we have plans not only to move into our conference space, but also to establish some of these tent facilities in the ground floor of some of our garage spaces to accommodate additional patients should this surge occur.
Dr. Marks, stick with us. Stanley Marks is the Chief Medical Officer for Memorial Healthcare System, the public safety net hospital system that operates in South Broward County. We're talking about hospital capacity, the ability for the healthcare system in South Florida to deal with what may be a huge increase in demand for services brought on by COVID-19. 800-743-9576. That's our phone number, 800-743-WLRN. Dr. Marks, we're going to say hello in Delray Beach to Michael. Michael, go ahead. You're on the radio.
Yeah, I had a question. Since schools are closed and probably won't be opening before summer, why can't they be used as temporary hospital space? They typically have linoleum floors, are designed to be easily cleaned and disinfected, and they have a cafeteria to feed the patient.
Michael, good question. Schools, the official word has not come by that they're not going to come back into session before the end of the scheduled school year here. But Dr. Marks, what about school buildings for potential overflow hospital space?
Absolutely. First of all, that's a great question, and it's a great suggestion. And there is no question that an infrastructure of a school could absolutely house patients. They don't necessarily have all of the electrical equipment and probably aren't wired exactly to meet the needs of certain of the diagnostic imaging capabilities that are needed. But that probably could be jerry-rigged fairly fairly quickly by knowledgeable electricians. And I think that that's an area that we hope we don't need to move into that direction of moving to schools and other forms of public buildings. But that is an outstanding suggestion. And your recognition that it houses a cafeteria and the ability, kitchens, even more importantly, the ability to produce food for both staff and for patients. So great thought.
Dr. Marks, are you aware of any conversations with the memorial and schools, public schools in Broward County?
Right now, the conversations that have been had between Memorial and the Broward County School District has been related to child care. Mm-hmm. And I believe there are some schools that do have child care with preference for both first responders and healthcare workers. The conversations related to using them as potential for patients, I don't believe has occurred yet. But I'm pretty sure that we will be having those conversations as we move forward.
What about other public facilities that may be empty, frankly? I'm thinking of convention centers, for instance, or even private facilities like hotels. Are those within the realm of consideration of possibility?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, some of our team is actually today at a hotel site, at a campus site. I can't disclose it at this point in time, but I will tell you that a fairly large hotel and group that has offered us an ability to use their space, their ballrooms and the like, and their ground floors of garages as triage stations. So the ability for the hospital, and certainly for us, Memorial, to work collaboratively with other members of the community has really been rewarding.
Dr. Marks, can you give us a little bit more about that? I know you don't want to name the operator, the hotel operator, but give us a sense of where those conversations sit and the possibility of executing on that kind of plan.
So we actually have our team of facilities and building personnel looking at some of that, some of those properties at today, a little bit later this afternoon, to understand what they look like, what the ability to hook up equipment, the ability to feed staff as well as patients, and potentially use these areas, whether as quarantine sites or as sites to be used for low levels of care, and these would be conversations that we're having that would be related to patients. There are also some conversations related to perhaps housing at various hotels, housing some of our personnel that might feel that because of potential exposure, they don't want to go back home to their families until they're absolutely cleared. So perhaps using some hotels for residences for our staff, physicians and or nursing and ancillary staff.
Could you give us a sense of the size of some of these facilities that you're talking with and investigating?
Actually, I can't. First of all, I can't even estimate how what the bed capacity of some of these facilities are. I will tell you that they are large facilities.
Large facility in Broward County?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They're reasonably close by. The important thing, if one was to set up a peripheral hospital, whether it was a school or something in a ballroom of a convention center or a hospital, it needs to be reasonably close to the main campus of a hospital, so that if you needed to move that patient back to a hospital for a higher level of care, you aren't dealing with a very long transport situation.
What's the ideal time for that, Dr. Marks? Is that about a mile, couple of miles maybe?
Well, I don't want to get into where exactly this particular venue is that we're talking about. But the important thing also is having personnel being able to get back and forth between the hospital and this peripheral facility.
Yeah. Let me bring in another call here, Dr. Marks. Jerry in Kendall is on line six. Go ahead, Jerry. You're on the radio now.
Hey, great show. Thank you so much. Appreciate what you're doing today. Mine is kind of like a comment and a question mixed in together. We saw about a month ago how China was able to pull up the manpower to make a hospital, create a hospital in 2 weeks. We have the Army Corps of Engineers in this country, and I think it's very important to take a look and see what China has done so that we can actually step up and provide something like that for New York, possibly Louisiana. We know California and Washington are impacted largely as well. So I'd like to know, what are the Army Corps of Engineers doing? Why aren't they building a facility if they can anticipate, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that are going to need beds? Why are we lagging behind? Why don't we follow the world and get moving?
Jerry, I appreciate the question. I know that there was a tent at the that was set up for the youth fair in Miami-Dade County that has been repurposed over the course of the past week into a healthcare facility. Hasn't opened yet. Jackson and Miami-Dade County are preparing that. Dr. Marks, without commenting necessarily, if you'd like to, if you know about the Army Corps of Engineers, but I know Memorial is involved with the National Guard in terms of setting up testing. What are the mechanisms or the methods or the agencies that that can be utilized here by public health, by even private hospitals, to expand rapidly if necessary?
Yeah, so I'm not going to be able to comment on the U.S. Army or the the federal military response at this point in time, but I can comment in a fairly detailed way about the National Guard and Governor DeSantis's deployment of the Guard and the public health response here in Broward County and frankly around the state. The governor has deployed the National Guard down to both Dade and Broward County.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several things that are going on. Here in Broward County, the National Guard has worked closely with Memorial to establish a testing facility at C.B. Smith Park. In Dade County, the National Guard has established a testing facility at the Hard Rock Stadium. And this is an ability for predominantly the elderly, first responders, and healthcare workers to get tested if they meet certain testing specifications. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, if you have any level of symptoms of upper respiratory problems and you're over age 65, you can come to one of these testing sites. I can tell you that we have tested in the facility that is in cooperation with Memorial. We have tested several thousand people already. And we're testing 7 days a week. We go about 8 to 10 hours a day. And we've been testing anywhere between 500 and 700 people a day at these sites. Additionally, there is a mobile hospital being set up also by the National Guard in North Broward, I believe on Commercial and 441, I believe. Additionally, the Florida Department of Health has worked very cooperatively, I believe, with every hospital. We were recently on a phone conference with the Surgeon General. I have personally spoken with the Surgeon General several times. I've been in contact with the governor's office to discuss issues of both manpower, mm-hmm. treatment, testing. So the level of cooperation, I would say, here in Florida has been absolutely outstanding between the governor's office and us, certainly at Memorial, and the Department of Health, as well as other hospitals as well.
Dr. Marks, I want to grab one more call here. Michael in Hollywood has a question relating specifically to Memorial. Go ahead, Michael. You're on the radio now.
Yes, Dr. Stanley Marks. I was wondering about volunteers. How could somebody volunteer to help during this crisis?
Dr. Marks?
Excellent question. And we welcome everybody who wants to volunteer. Right now, what we have been doing is all of our volunteer services have been put in abeyance. And a big reason for that right now is most of our volunteers were either relatively young, teenagers and so on, trying to get credit mm-hmm. for volunteerism, but also the senior citizens of our community just are extraordinary volunteers. What we've had to do, though, because it was too high risk with this huge volume of community-acquired COVID-19, we didn't want to expose either the youngsters or our senior citizens to this disease in the hospital. So that has been terminated. But there are potentials for volunteering, and I would encourage anybody who wants to volunteer at any of your hospitals, including Memorial, to call our volunteer services division. I think there will be opportunities to volunteer. We actually, many people may have seen, many of our staff have been making face shields mm-hmm. and a variety of personal protective gear to be used by our staff, our nurses, and our doctors. There may be some real opportunity to help us in manufacturing and making this equipment. We've got all of the supplies to help you make it, and we can show you how to do it. That may be a huge opportunity for people who do want to volunteer. So.
Memorial has the raw materials for this personal protective gear. They just need help putting it together?
Yes, one of our hospitals, Memorial Hospital West, their staff actually devised a copy of face shields that they made out of plastic mm-hmm. that we were able to purchase, rubber bands and paper clips and some sort of foam. And they're actually on Facebook. What is it called? FaceTime? Facebook?
Facebook, yeah.
Facebook. I've dated myself. In any event, it's a great showing. And, the more of these kinds of things we can get, because, as I said, personal protective gear is in short supply
plastic,
around the world.
Plastic, paper clips.
Rubber bands and
foam.
And some kind of foam.
There you go. That sounds like a home craft project that can help out healthcare workers and help keep them safe in Broward County and probably elsewhere. Dr. Marks, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it, and I know that we'll be in touch in the weeks ahead, and I hope you, your staff, and your family are safe as well.
And I wish all your listeners to be safe and healthy and keep social distance.
That's right. 6 feet or more. Dr. Stanley Marks is the chief medical officer at Memorial Healthcare System in South Broward County. More to come here on the South Florida Roundup. Local governments asking people to stay at home 6 feet or more apart. We'll look at these shelter-in-place, shelter-at-home orders. Are you living under one of them? Please join our conversation. 800-743-9576. Welcome back to the South Florida Roundup here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening this week and supporting public radio. Public health officials say social distancing helps slow the spread of the coronavirus. People urge to physically stay away from each other as much as possible, at least 6 feet. Local governments are issuing various shelter-in-place, stay-at-home orders. This week, Broward instituted a countywide safer-at-home order. Cities in Miami Beach, having similar orders in place. Phone lines are open now. Are you living, working under one of these orders? What questions do you have? 800-743-9576. What can and cannot you do with these stay-at-home orders? 800-743-WLRN. We are joined now by the Broward County Mayor, Dale Holness, on the telephone. Mayor Holness, welcome back to the South Florida Roundup. Nice to have you, sir.
Thank you so much, and thank you for all that you do to inform our community.
Happy to do it, Mayor. So the shelter-in-place order in Broward County, what can people not do?
So first, let me say that the people, we have an exemption for those who are first responders, for anyone who is in law enforcement, medical personnel, emergency workers, and those performing essential services for government, our governmental entities. What can you do? Well, you can actually still go to your doctor, your pharmacist, to the grocery stores, to take care of essential things that you might need. But what we really want to do is have you stay home as much as possible. We know now clearly from all the evidence that's there that it is transmitted from person to person. Mm-hmm. Are you touching the surface where someone coughed or sneezed on that the virus is on and then transmitted it to yourself by touching your eyes or nose or mouth?
So, Mayor Holness,
the least amount of contact you can have with others is going to be beneficial.
I'm sure you've gotten this question already. We've had the question on social media. Can you go for a walk in Broward County? Can you go for a jog? Can you go for a bike ride? You're not necessarily going out to an essential errand, right? You're not going to the grocery store or the drugstore necessarily, but you're just getting out of the four walls you've been in.
Well, that's something that's healthy to do. So we're not limiting you from going outside of your home to exercise or to get fresh air. But what we're wanting you not to do is go to places where you're congregating with others. So if you want to go for a walk, I did go for my walk this morning, about 3 miles around my community.
Mm-hmm.
But when I passed someone, I stayed 6 feet or more away from them. You can do that. Again, essential things that you need to do, you can. And yes, exercising is something that you probably need to do to stay sane.
Indeed, that is true. Katie Swatowski covers Broward County for us in Broward County for us here at WLRN. Katie, this order put in place this week, what does it change? What does it change from what folks could do a week ago to what they can do now?
Hi, Tom. Hi, Mayor. What this order in particular that I've seen changes per se is clarifies what essential businesses means. And I think that's what I've heard from a lot of residents when they're asking, hey, you know, do I still go to work? Do I still go here? What's essential? And so the top of the Broward County order says it's an order directing shelter in place. Or some other words we've been hearing, a safer at home policy. But really, the order just strongly urges residents to remain at home unless there's something essential, like going to a pharmacy, that they need to do. So it doesn't necessarily change the messaging. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of Broward County residents have been hearing, you're still being asked to stay at home. But it doesn't put necessarily any criminal or consequences in place if you're not at your home. It's just asking and urging.
Mayor, what about enforcement here? What's the direction that you have given to Broward Sheriff's officers, for instance?
Well, Broward Sheriff's officers will warn folks and advise them that they need to stay home. They're not about to arrest people and put them in jail. We don't want to overcrowd the jail either. But here's the real essence of this. It is further ensuring that we're emphasizing the need for people to stay home. And some folks might disobey the order, but at the end of the day, you're not protecting yourself if you're out congregating with others and transmitting this disease to other people. And it's going to cost us a longer time to get out from under where we are to where we can get back to where we can get back to work and work towards prosperity for all the people of Broward County.
Mayor Holness, stay on the line. Katie Swatowski, you as well. We're going to go to a phone call at 800-743-9576, 800-743-9576. Your questions, your comments about these stay-at-home orders. Paul is in Fort Lauderdale. Go ahead, Paul. You're on the radio.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good.
I agree with the spatial, distancing yourself from other people, but I think we're really missing something important here. I feel the grocery store, the department store, they're probably the most dangerous places. That guy checking you out at the counter has touched hundreds of people's items. So we're taking this stuff, putting it in a bag, taking it home, touching it, and then we're spreading this virus. It's everywhere. I take my stuff home, take the bags off, throw them in the garbage, spray everything down with hydrogen peroxide.
Mm.
Before I allow anybody to touch any of it. You put your credit card in that machine, you take it out, you touched all the numbers, you now touch the credit card. You got to spray your credit card, your wallet, everything.
Yeah, you pick up the stylus to sign your name on the receipt, those kind of things, Paul. Yeah, we're all becoming hyper aware of how many common items and surfaces we all touch. Mayor Holness, what about Paul's concern there?
So it's a legitimate concern, and what we are recommending is that these grocery stores and other entities where people have high-touch area that they sanitize on a regular basis. That's something that we have instituted at all our county businesses more than a month now since we saw what was going on with this virus. So elevator, use your key to touch it or use something to shield when you touch any of these commonly touched or what we call high-touch areas wherever you go.
Yeah. I was at the pool store, my local pool store, yesterday, and they had piled up boxes of empty inventory between the counter and where the customer stands, so you're physically barred from being within 6 feet. You had to lean over and reach over in order to put the credit card into the machine, and they had disabled the signature part of it, so you no longer even had to touch the stylus. You just had to touch your credit card. 800-743-9576. Stay at home, shelter at home orders in place in many communities in South Florida today. 800-743-9576. Joy Fletcher joins us now via FaceTime. He is a reporter with our partner, the Miami Herald, covering the city of Miami. Joy, the city acted midweek with a stay at home order, really in advance of anything that the county did, and also instituted a curfew. What led to that?
The commissioners in the city of Miami have been very concerned, particularly for the elderly population, which is very large in the city of Miami. And it seems as though the urgency was pretty early on in the past couple of weeks, simply because there were at least 10 or 12 days of quarantine for each of the five commissioners after Mayor Francis Suarez tested positive 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And he was, as of right now, I'm not sure if he's actually been cleared to even leave his home. It kind of hit home quick. I think it sparked a sense of urgency that has led to some actions like this curfew, like the stay at home order that have come a little bit earlier than other governments.
And also the question of enforcement when it comes to the city of Miami's curfew and stay at home. What does that look like, Joy? What are we hearing from the police department?
The police department has they were in what they called education and just sort of making sure people understood what was going on mode this week. That with the curfew may change. It's expected to change. The police chief said to commissioners at a virtual meeting on Wednesday night that if a curfew is in place, that his department will enforce it. I actually followed up and asked about people sleeping on the street, about homeless people, to see mm-hmm. if that enforcement would be the same. And they said that it's not the police department's intention to enforce it there. But they do want to take every opportunity to engage with people and let them know what's going on and why it's important to keep distance.
Mayor Holness, how about the homeless population in Broward County? How are they affected? How are they treated by this stay-at-home measure?
Well, similarly, we're going to do what we can to assist them with finding shelter, as we've done over the past year at a heightened level. Many folks are mentally ill and have addiction issues, and it's difficult for you to force them to change your life. We're encouraging them to and providing the resources for them to do so. The sheriff likewise won't be arresting folks that are out there.
What kind of resources are available? In other words, is there space inside shelters in Broward County?
So we're making some adjustments as to accommodate more people as we speak through our homeless continuum of care program. And yes, from time to time, we have issues with that also.
Mayor Holness, I'm going to ask you to hold on the line here. Joey Fletches with our partner, the Miami Herald. Stick with us via FaceTime. Katie Swatowski reporting for WLRN in Broward County. Stay with us as well. We've got more calls to get to. 800-743-9576. Are you living under a shelter-at-home, stay-at-home order? Are you abiding by 6 feet or more of social distancing? Are you able to get out for a walk? Are you concerned about going to the grocery store? What precautions have you taken to keep yourself, your community, your family safe? 800-743-9576 as the South Florida Roundup continues after this. We're back on the South Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening this week. We're talking about staying at home, staying safe during this coronavirus crisis. Several cities across South Florida, counties as well, have issued shelter-in-place orders, sometimes called safer-at-home orders. Broward applied to the entire county, Miami-Dade, Palm Beach counties haven't gone quite as far, urging folks to stay home, though. Large cities like Miami, Miami Beach have instituted their own stay-at-home orders. The Broward County Mayor Dale Holness is with us. We also have the Miami Herald's City of Miami reporter Joy Fletches with us, and WLRN's Broward County reporter Katie Swiltowski is also still with us. Katie, let me start this part of the program with you. Broward County is no doubt a hot spot when it comes to the coronavirus and confirmed COVID-19 cases. What's the latest that you can share with us?
So Miami-Dade has actually surpassed Broward in the number of cases, but not deaths so far. And so we're still seeing the state is accounting for 3 deaths in Broward County between reports of a Broward County doctor who passed away yesterday, who was COVID-19 positive, and certainly the growing in concern situation at an assisted living facility here in Broward County. Reports have our death count up at about 7 right now that are known from COVID-19. So a couple of the questions, why cases in Hollywood are still higher than surrounding areas is something I'm trying to get to the bottom of. And it seems that, you know, more cases in Miami is that's surpassing us doesn't necessarily mean that the state is keeping track of deaths the same way.
Yeah. Mayor Holness, what do you know about this difference between the official number of deaths reported by the Department of Health in Broward County at 3 and what other journalists have been able to suss out from the data and puts it at, Katie, correct me if I'm wrong, I think 7 now, right?
Right. Yeah. So there's certainly a lag time, I believe, between what is given to the public from the Florida Department of Health than what is actually known, as you've indicated through your reporters. And we rely pretty much on the information that comes from the Florida Department of Health as the official information center for this crisis and those who are affected by it.
And regarding Katie's question, Mayor, about Hollywood, any information that you're getting from either the Department of Health or local hospital public health folks about what may be a hot spot within Broward County?
So, I mean, what is being told is basically sometimes you have clusters where people are tied together and the transmittal goes within those communities, similar to what happened at that nursing facility on Commercial Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
So that is that you're going to find hotspots like those when someone is infected by the virus and they spread it within those groups. So that's we'll see probably even more of that.
Joy Fletcher, go ahead, Katie. I just interrupted you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, Tom. I had a question for you, Mayor, if I could. I know the Holland America cruise ship is becoming an increasingly serious situation. Is that ship still expected to dock in Port Everglades come Monday?
So here's where we are with that. As my last briefing late yesterday evening, at this point in time, at that point in time, and I haven't gotten an update as of right now, the ship hadn't been permitted to cross the Panama Canal. We have no berthing request from that ship. We don't know clearly what the medical situation is on the ship in terms of those who might be ill and what their illnesses are. We have a joint command at the port dealing with these issues with the Department of Health, Florida Department of Health, the Centers for Disease Control, the Coast Guard, Customs and Border Patrol, or folks from the port and the Sheriff's Office. Any decisions that's going to be made goes through that whole command structure. And we certainly must know prior to any granting of berthing, what his true health situation is on the ship. I've received numerous emails, both for and against folks coming off that ship. One this morning I got from a gentleman whose mother is on the ship, who's a resident of South Florida, of Miami, and he's a resident of Sunrise, pleading that we don't just leave these folks out there. And there are others saying, don't let them in because we don't need any more cases of the coronavirus.
Joy Fletches with the Miami Herald. Let me ask you, in Dade County, this has come up because the county mayor and the county, which operates Port Miami, has talked about accepting ships and ill passengers or crew members. But the city of Miami, which is what you would wind up driving through from Port Miami to a healthcare facility, has discussed that kind of transfer of patients.
Yeah, they have expressed a lot of fear, a lot of they want to see a plan. They want to see a protocol in place. They fully understand that people are going to be getting off cruise ships in Port Miami if that is the policy going forward. But what their concern is that if they do start to, you know, go into Miami's, you know, areas, neighborhoods, they fear spread. And so there's a bit of a disconnect and a little bit of, there have been questions about what the collaboration is between the city and the county on mm-hmm. this entire matter. This probably is another moment where there's a lack of clarity at this particular moment on how exactly they're going to make sure that there's a plan in place and people are screened and people are, whatever protocol needs to happen to make sure that there's no further spread as a result of people disembarking. It's indicative of a wider issue of you know, how exactly are these governments working together where there are so many in Miami-Dade County that could have different rules.
Yeah, and much the same in Broward County, Mayor Holness. We are getting reports on this Holland America ship that there are 4 deaths on board as it continues in the Atlantic Ocean. Does that change your calculation at all? What are you going to be considering, do you think, as this ship comes near?
Well, again, what protocols are in place and how does the Center for Disease Control and the Florida Department of Health see this and how is that going to be handled? We are very apprehensive here also of letting the ship in. We've gotten, again, as I told you, both for and against allowing it for humanitarian reasons and others in fear that it will probably further infect the community.
Is this the county commission's decision ultimately, Mayor Holness?
Part of the discussion will have to go through that joint command structure that I told you mm-hmm. about earlier, all those entities. We have some means from our county attorney of doing some things to not allow or to allow it in at the county level. I think we're going to have some discussion on that. One of my colleagues asked for a emergency meeting, and it's actually within the port and the county administrator's hand, actually. And she's indicated that we are not going to do it, do anything that will endanger the people of Broward County. So there's discussion that has already been occurring.
Mayor Holness, we got to leave it there for time's sake, but we do appreciate your time, and thanks for sharing your comments with us. Mayor Dale Holness, Mayor of Broward County. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
The Miami Herald's City of Miami reporter, Joy Fletches, with us via FaceTime as you're out reporting. Joy, thanks for sharing your reporting with us as well.
Thank you for having me.
And Katie Swatowski, always a pleasure. Thanks for sharing all of your knowledge about Broward County with us.
Thanks, Tom.
Finally, on the roundup this week, thousands of workers across the region, across the state, across the country face an uncertain future due to the coronavirus crisis. Local governments have ordered closed restaurants, bars, movie theaters, among other places, non-essential businesses closed to slow the spread of the virus. WLRN heard from some listeners about how their jobs have been affected.
My name is Wayne Combs. I live in South Beach for the last 6 years. I work for a dealer distributor providing non-perishable products like equipment, china glass, and silverware to area restaurants and hotels. My base salary was $2,400 a month, and it was now cut to $1,200 a month, which is barely more than my rent. I currently have a little cushion because I've done so many sales in the last 6 months during the season. So it's not that bad yet. So we'll really see in about 3 months.
Hello, my name is Sharon Sandberg, and I live in Miami Beach, Florida. I was a bartender server in South Beach for the past 14 years. Since I am in the service industry and every restaurant and hotel was pretty much shut down, there was nowhere for me to go for work at this point.
If you'd like to share your story with us, find us on social media at WLRN, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can also sign up for our coronavirus newsletter and keep track of the latest news produced by us here at WLRN. You can find more details to sign up for that email newsletter on our homepage at WLRN.org and all of our virus coverage at WLRN.org/coronavirus. That'll do it for the South Florida Roundup this week. It is produced by Alexander Gonzalez. Our engagement producer is Katie Lepre. News director Terrence Shepard, Alicia Zuckerman, our editorial director. The director of radio operations is Peter Maritz. The director of radio programming is Jason Zabka. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for calling and listening. We got help this week from Alejandra Martinez. This program is made possible by Willie the Bee Man, Bee Removal Specialist.